Now we will do something shocking.
Wonderful.
I thought you'd like that. The concept, at least. See, here's the reason. We're going to hear a lecture of Prabhupada's. There's three parts. This is one lecture in 1973 in London, in July. And there are three parts of this lecture. The first part is 12 minutes. And it's a prerequisite. A prerequisite for actually attaining this position as of serving here in Braja. But it is a hard prerequisite for someone who is, what's the word I'm thinking? Is anyone a mind reader? It's hard. It's not hard if you're liberated, but it's hard if you're dreaming, if you're asleep. It's very hard because Prabhupada's going to speak about the greatest of intoxications and giving it up. And we probably know what that is very easily. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Prabhupada said, just like when we think of a spice on our food. You can hand these out. A spice. When we think of a heavy spice, we don't think of salt and salt. But Prabhupada said, compared to the intoxication of identifying with the body, ourselves as this, all other intoxications are like salt and pepper, just one added little bit. This is the big intoxication. This is this is what false ego, ahankar, forces us into thinking. This is what the greatest dream actually is. That this is me, and oh, how much do I have to suffer because I identify this with being me? This, the body, this is me. I'm going to die, that means. As long as I identify myself as the body, it means I'm going to die and I don't know what's going to happen to me. Oh. Is it long enough, the cord?
Yeah, I don't think. I'll bring it
here. Okay. It has to be given up. Which is very hard to do, just like it's hard to give up the sleeping state. But sometimes when we're dreaming and sleeping, and then we have something wonderful we know we have to do in the day, something we're so enthusiastic to do, immediately we want to give up the dream and the sleeping condition. So we have something so wonderful we're tasting by the mercy of Giriraj, by the mercy of the dust of Vrindavan. We're getting the fragrance of Giriraj is drifting over all of us and making us so, it is descending upon us like the sweet fragrance of a transcendental jasmine flower descending upon us, making everyone clearly desire something other than what this body and this dreamlike material world can offer. Let's hear what Prabhupada says about this. Yes. Okay, we don't need that. It's going to take a moment. But don't read ahead yet.
Arjuna was not a coward. He was a competent warrior. But still, the Atma Buddhi, the bodily concept of life is so strong that Arjuna admits. Dhrishtyatu sajanam Krishna. My dear Krishna, I have to kill my own men. Huh? What is that own man? Own man means this bodily relationship. Huh? Why others are not old men? Everyone is old man, because everyone is Krishna's son. So when one becomes Krishna conscious, he can see everyone old man. And when he is not Krishna conscious, he simply sees old man where there is bodily relations. This is the defect. They are advertising humanitarian work, philanthropic work, communism, thisism. But when there is question of bodily relationship, immediately everything is changed. You know, the communist country, the Khrushchev was denounced because he was patronizing his own men.
Did you know that?
So you can advertise that I'm for everyone, but there is affection for own men. Nepotism. Nepotism is called nepotism. So many big leaders. Jawaharlal Nehru, he was sending his own men as ambassador. Vijayalakshmi, a woman, and she was being sent as ambassador. She was high commissioner. Yes. So this old man question is very prominent everywhere. So Arjuna is a great warrior. He could fight all the soldiers, all the fighting men, jujutsu. The other party, they are also assembled, jujutsu, with fighting spirit. Other men, if they are not fighting spirit, we can kill very easily. But old men, although they are fighting spirit, still he hesitates. Because old men. So this old manship, in relationship with the body, is the barrier for spiritual understanding. So long, this conception of life will exist, that I am this body, and anyone who is related with this body, they are my own man, kinsman, relative. This conception of life is the greatest barrier for advancing in spiritual consciousness. Therefore, the Vedic civilization is so planned that one has to give up this rascal old man conception. That is vairagya. It is called vairagya. Jnana vairagya. Two things required in human life. Knowledge and vairagya. Detached. The attachment increases. First of all, it increases. Pumsang sriyami sunibhavame tat. This whole world is based on sex life. The man has got attraction for woman, the woman has got attraction for man. This is nature's bondage. Sacred. And when they are actually united, either by the father and mother or by their own way, that circle, that attraction increases. Pumsang sriyami sunibhavame tvayo mithuna vidaya granthi ahu vidaya granthi, not in the heart. She is my wife. He is my husband. Of course, now that knot is very slack. Formerly it was very strong, because the woman was not allowed to mix with any other man, and the man was also not allowed with any other woman. This intermingling has slackened even that knot. Hridaya Granthi. Therefore, in trifle cases, quarrel between husband and wife, there is divorce. Because that unity is not very strong now. That is good. Somewhere or other it is lacking. So, this old man see comes from bodily concept of life. The Arjuna is preparing the ground how to receive the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Because the spiritual instruction will begin to separate the soul from the body. Unless one understands that there is a soul different from this body, there is no spiritual education. This is the basic principle. If you do not understand what is soul, what is spirit soul, then where is spiritual education? So, Arjuna was affected. He said, frankly, Drishtvātu sajanam Krishna, jujustam samapasitam. What is this? I have to kill my own man? Sajanam. Sajanam means own man. Nor sīdanti mama gātrāṇi. Oh, I am Sivari. Mukhaṁ ca parisuṣyati. My mouth is being dried up. We have got this experience. When there is danger, these things have happened. So many symptoms. Viputasya sarire me. Roma harsasya jāyat. Gāṇḍi maṁs. Saṁ sati hastyāt. Takcaiva paridayate. As these things, these symptoms, different transformation of bodily constitution appears in times of danger. Similarly, such symptoms appear in times of spiritual bliss. That is called auspasatik vikar. Eight kinds of transformation of the body. So, there is so many reserved energies within our body, they become manifest in due course of time when the mind and intelligence work in different ways. This is the study how things appear. It is appearing from intelligence mind. The soul is there. And the intelligence and mind creating the situation of the bodily symptoms. Therefore, body or the senses are not off. The modern education, they think this body is everything. No. Real study is body means the senses. Indriyani pararahu. On gross vision we see this body. Indriyani pararahu, indriyastu paramana. But the bodily symptoms are acting because the mind is there. And mind is working because the intelligence is there. And the intelligence is working because the soul is there. We can stand. So this is the process. The basic principle is the soul. The soul is acting through intelligence, and the intelligence is acting through mind, and the mind is expressed through the senses. This is the process. So as my mind is absorbed in something, some subject matter, my bodily symptoms also will work, or the senses will work according to that mind. Therefore, for spiritual advancement also, you have to train your mind. Savai mana krishna padarvindayo vachansi vaikuntha gunanuvarnane. If you use, first of all, fix up your mind. So, the hindrance is this Sajana. Now he is presenting. He is presenting himself as full number one, although he is not so. But he is creating the ground for Krishna speaking on Bhagavad Gita. This is the principle. Therefore, he is not at all affected by this Sajana, by this presenting. This is my problem. That I have to kill this time among Sajanam Krishna by seeing my own kinsman, because I am full number one. Jasyata buddhi kunapeti dhatute. I am calling them Sajana. In Shastra, it is called Sajanakha Dosu. Sajanakha Dosu. They are all thieves and rogues, but they are claiming as my kinsman. Practically, suppose in your pocket there is $100. If some pickpocket take it, and if you capture it, then you give it immediately to the police. And when you come home after hard-earned money, and when your wife takes her, are you laugh? Oh, you have taken all my money. Huh? But the same pickpocket. But the same pickpocket. But because he is sojourner, sojourner dosu, pickpocket in the name of sojourner, he is very much pleased. Ah, my wife has taken, my son has taken, never mind. Rather, as soon as takes, he is giving to the police. The same business is being done. He is working hard day and night, and they are plundering. He still, Prahlad Maharaj recommends their go.
They are plundering, still they are thinking, they are my sojourn, they are my kinsmen, that is called illusion. And then Prabhupada says, thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening to this very bitter medicine, saying that due to the connection with the body, we are identifying with someone as friend, identifying with another as enemy. And this conception of the body does not award us spiritual bliss, the spiritual bliss that the soul is so deeply hankering for. The dream has to end.
Haribol.
The dream has to end. Medicine, bitter. Now, that does not mean if one is in a situation where he is dealing with family members, etc., that one has to give up that duty. But no, the attachment to another just based on the body has to be given up for something far more wonderful. A very deep attachment to Krishna. The bodily identification has to be given up. This is the meaning of giving up the dream life. And we have, and nothing, and if you thought this is heavy, wait till you hear the next segment that Prabhupada's going to say. That superficially doing this is simply not sufficient. We have to give up the identification with the body and accept the identification as being Krishna's servant, the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And that has to come very deeply into the heart if one actually wishes to attain Goloka Vrindavan. That transformation has to occur very deeply, deeply, deeply. Listen. Part 2.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung. Sarira vidya jala jalendriya tahekar jive phali visaya sada. Our, this body is a network of nescience or ignorance. This body, why we have got this body, material body? Because we have got, we have forgotten Krishna and we wanted to lord it over the material nature. This is our position. Therefore, according to our different desires, we have got different bodies. Here we are sitting, say 50 years, 100 men. Nobody's body will tally with others' body. Face and everything, different, because every one of us has got different desires. Therefore, their facial expression, bodily construction, everything is made according to the mind. So at the time of death also, the constitution of mind will transfer me to another different type of body. The mind will carry the soul. These are all explained in the Bhagavad. Janga janga bhapi smaran loke tajattanti kaleva. So if you train up your mind, that is Krishna consciousness, always remembering Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 then it may be possible that at the time of death you remember Krishna and your life is saved. Taktadiham punarjanmanaiti mameti kam. Immediately you are transferred to Krishna Loka. This is train. So we have to think of Krishna always, 24 hours. Kirtaniya Sadahari, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended. Tarorapi sahishnuna, tinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna, omanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Because our aim is, if you are serious of being transferred to the loka, to the place where Krishna is.
Yes, we are trying to become serious, to become transferred to that place where Krishna is. We've been sharing so much of that sweetness. We've been getting a taste, a drop of that sweetness. We wish to become serious. So Prabhupada has said, so if we are serious,
we have to train up the mind so nicely that the time of death I can remember Krishna. Therefore, one great king, Kulasekara, he is praying to Krishna, Krishna tadiya padapankaja. What is that part? Tadiya, Krishna tadiya padapankaja. I am just forgetting. The idea is, a Kulasekhar, King Kulasekhar is praying to Krishna, Uddhaiva visatume manasaraja hansa, Uddhaiva prana prayana samaye kapabata tittai smaranam kutaste. He is praying, Krishna, I am now in good health, so kindly award me death immediately. Addaiva, immediate. So that my mind, who is just like a swan, he can take pleasure by entering into stream of your lotus flower feet. Krishna's feet is always compared with lotus flower. And the lotus flower has got a stream. Swans, they take pleasure being entangled with that stream. They go and dive into the water. This is their very good sport. So he is taking that sporting. He is comparing his mind as the Rajahansa. So as the Rajahansa takes pleasure by entangling him in the stream of the lotus flower, similarly, your lotus feet, there is a stream. So my mind, which may be compared with Rajahansa, let it be entangled now, immediately. Otherwise, I do not know. Prana prayana samaye kaphavata pittai. When everything bodily function will be mixed up, kaphavata pittai, there will be some sound. How I can be, I will be able to remembering your lotus feet. So let me die immediately. Now I am quite fit. Otherwise, I may not be able. This is the point. The mind should be kept in healthy condition. Sagya. Therefore, one who dies with full sense, remembering Krishna, he is successful. In Bengal it is said, bhajan karo, sadhan karo, motte jan leha. But you may be very great devotee, that's all right. But it will be tested at the time of your death. How you remember Krishna? That will be the test examination. At the time of death, if we forget, if we become parrot-like, just like parrot, he chants also, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But when the cat catches the neck, no more Krishna. No more Krishna. So artificial practice will not help us. Then that kapopirita bhattai, kanthavarodhanavidhai, smaranankitaste. So from the very beginning we have to practice Krishna consciousness if we are actually serious to go back to home, back to Godhead. Not that, let it be left for 2 or 3 years before death. Oh, it is not so easy.
That example of the parrot I find very powerful and very heavy in Prabhupada saying, oh, it is not so easy, it is not so easy. What is the difference between a parrot's chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and one who is deep in his Krishna consciousness is chanting? What's the difference? Huh? But what is the realization?
Of relationship.
Yes, no thought of relationship. I guess the word that I was thinking of, but you're saying the same thing, is affection. Surrender means dependence. Gotripte varanam tata means dependence, but not I have to depend on you, Krishna, because you're God and I'm forced to. But no, there is deep affection, what we've been hearing of again and again is Krishna's deep, deep affection for his devotees, for every living entity. If we're being asked to give up sajan, you know, the feeling of this one is mine and this one is not mine, how Krishna must be feeling about every living entity. And how he comes to us in so many ways. You explain this. There's so much affection there. If we can just give some affection to Krishna. And one thing I know, and that's the difference. The relationship, the dependence, and affection for Krishna. And it is not easy at the time of death. But bhajan kori, how we do will be tested at that time. So now, while we are alive and we have some energy, we should really make our deepest, deepest, seriousest effort to give up the concept that I'm going to be happy on the bodily level, and we should develop our affection for Krishna. That is awakening from the dream. The dream is the bodily concept of life. The intoxication is the bodily concept of life. And it is a dream because it is not going to last. You know, Maya makes us think, oh, I'm going to basically live forever in this body and everything's going to be nice. And then someone we know who's dear to us dies, and we think, of course, we're sad, but the first thought is, whew, very close, but I'm okay. It is very serious business to develop love for Krishna. Is not something that's extraneous to what we're supposed to be doing. It is the essence of what we're supposed to be doing. And how well we do with that and how much we are parrot-like in our chanting shall be tested, each and every one of us. When I read these things or hear these things, I become very frightened. Because so much of my chanting, you know, the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Where is Krishna in all that? He's there. But where is that one who is my shelter, the love of my life? Where is Giriraj? Where is that beautiful boy with that smile that is as subtle and sweet as the fragrance of honey? Is he there? If I'm talking to Gauri, I'm saying, Gauri, 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 oh, Gauri. Are you going to, after a while, you can even pay attention to me? Are you going to even hear me and pay attention to me? He's saying, he's not talking to me. I remember as we were sitting under that tree last year, as the cows were walking by, and I took a 1-minute video clip of it, so I've seen it many times. Satchinanda Maharaj said, the chanting of Hare Krishna is meant to be done with tears in the eyes. Not that we artificially are trying to make tears come to our eyes, but the tongue must be involved, but the mind must be involved. The heart must be involved. We want to develop our love for Krishna. We want to, when we read or hear and see, I see my condition, that I'm so much entrapped in the bodily concept of life, the mental concept of life, I should become very unhappy and sad. And Krishna, what hope do I? I'm so entangled. The crow of my mind is so entangled in the garbage of this world, as opposed to the swan of my mind, entangled around the stem of your lotus feet. What a frightening condition if we take it seriously. Once, when Prabhupada was ill in his last months even, he noticed one of these sannyasis when they were dealing with him, because when a person is very ill, it's frightening to be around that person. And one of the sannyasis was a little bit standoffish, even with Prabhupada. You know, he didn't. If this is catching, I don't want it. And Prabhupada said to him, "Don't think that this isn't going to happen to you." When you're 20, 30, you really don't think it's going to happen to me. When you're 40, maybe it will. But when you're 50, yes. You know it's going to happen. You don't like to think about it, but it is going to happen. How much is my... I've been chanting for 35 years now. How much affection for Krishna have I developed? How much... Or on the other side, how much help from the other side, from the Giriraj side, do I actually need? And does my chanting reflect my actual need? An actual calling out? Like a baby crying for mother? Oh, Srimati Radharani, oh Krishna, look at me so trapped. Ayin nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavambudau. So, we wish to wake up from that dream, and something very wonderful is there for us. And if we can, the more we taste that wonderful thing, the more eager we are to wake up. If we're waking up to a bad day, things that we dread, we want to stay asleep. When we're waking up to our exciting day, something that we're meeting our dearest, our beloved, oh, we jump out of bed as soon as we realize who we are. Jump up. There's a third part to this lecture that I would like to listen to. There's something in this third part. I'll read this, a song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur after. It's about preaching. In this third part, Prabhupada explains, it's not a long part, he talks about the preaching spirit. And before one can have the preaching spirit that Prabhupada is speaking of, I'll talk about that after. But a little bit now, that one must be tasting. If one has something wonderful, as is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and perhaps the fifth chapter of Adi Lila describes, in the chapter describing the Pancha Tattva, what does it talk about the storehouse? What did they do with the storehouse? They
looted
it. Yeah, they looted it. What's the other word? They plundered the storehouse. Just imagine, here is a storehouse of love for Krishna. They plundered it and they distributed it freely to everyone. Love for Krishna. They knew its value. They had tasted its value. They were enraptured with this wonderful thing, and then they were distributing it. And they found that the more they distributed, what was the result? The more they had. This is a mystery of spiritual life. Distribution and not losing, but gaining. Again, one doesn't have to be a big preacher and give up superficially everything. Change one's position. No. Stenastite sudagatam tanovan manobir. Not to give up one's position, but yet still to distribute whatever we have. It will increase, it will increase. Prabhupada said, without preaching, the institution becomes rubbish. What a horrible word. What's the German word for that? It must be...
Abfall.
Oh! Rubbish. Because that's the purpose. And the more we give, the more we get. Jagtrini Mataji isn't here, but I told the story in the Bhagavatam class too. She was going to Delhi one day, and from Vrindavan, who wants to go to Delhi? But she thought, I'm going to Delhi. And she prayed that Krishna would send her someone to preach to. And indeed, Krishna did. A very, very sincere soul. So whatever position we're in, if we want to give what we have and make an increase, Krishna will help us. But there must be some desire on one's part. And also there must be a sense of the value of the thing that we have. Then preaching is an act of great generosity. But listen to what Prabhupada says about this. This is the third segment. Instructions for preachers. I called this lesson, the last class I had called Waking Up. And the key of the Waking Up lesson, if you remember, was developing some love, some affection for Krishna. And this lesson I called Staying Awake, which is, in some senses, more difficult than waking up. Three parts. That we have to become determined with our intelligence, with our mind, that I am Krishna's. I am not of the material world. We have to become fixed in that. Second, we have to get this very deep by the process of hearing and doing bhajan. Superficial change won't help. And the third point in waking up here, we're calling distribution or preaching, helping others, compassion. Or if we don't have much in the way of compassion ourselves, helping those who have more compassion than us. Here's what Prabhupada
Prahlad Maharaj recommends therefore, Kumaro Asadit Praga Dharamana Bhagavatam Yo Durlavam Manusam Janmam Tadapi Asrubam Arthadam. He was 5 years old, Krishna conscious, from the womb of his mother. He heard instruction of Narada. Narada was instructing his mother. He was in the womb. Fortunately, by God's grace, he heard all the instruction of Narada when he was in the womb of his mother. And the result was, from the beginning of his life, he is Krishna conscious. From the beginning, as soon as he took birth, he is Krishna conscious. So he was advising his class friend, preaching, just see, he was 5 years old born, but he was taking the opportunity of preaching. Because the teacher, he is born of a demon family. So all those class friends, they are also sons of demons, so there is no question of Krishna consciousness. But he learned Krishna consciousness from the womb of his mother. So he was trying to preach. Because he was king's son, there was no other opportunity for preaching, and he was a 5 years old boy. He took the opportunity in the classroom. As soon as the teacher is away, he would preach. He would preach. This is preaching spirit. As soon as you get some opportunity, preach. What is that preach? Preaching, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised us. Jare dakho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. This is preaching. Whoever you meet, simply speak of the instruction of Krishna. So if you are advanced, if you know what is the instruction of Krishna by reading Bhagavad Gita, you can preach to others. And if you have not read anything, suppose you do not know anything, then you can also preach. What is that? Just become a devotee of Krishna, my dear sir. That's it. This is also preaching. Just surrender to Krishna. You go door to door. If you cannot do anything, simply say, my dear sir, you are very good man. You are very intelligent man. Chant Hare Krishna. Sakalameva Vihaya Dura. This preaching was taught by Prabhupada Saraswati. Dante Nidhaya Tinatam Padayo Nipatya. Kākusatam kritvāca aham bravīmi. This is the preaching process. Dante nidhāyatinatam. According to Vedic civilization, if one wants to become very humble and approach another person, then he has to take one straw in the mouth. See now? So, the preaching process is to take a straw in the mouth, dante nidhāyatinatam, padayo nipatya, and falling down on your feet. Dante nidhayatinakam padayo nipatya. Kākusatam kritvāca aham bravīmi. And flattering me. Sir, you are so great man, you are so intelligent man, this is flattering. Although he is fool number one, we have to flatter like that. There is no greater man like you. You are so intelligent, you are so rich, you are so beautiful. So all these things, just like the beggars, sometimes you become king, and one thinks, oh, he's blessing me. All that is taken. So this flattering is also required. So, kākusatam krityāca aham bravīmi. So the man may ask, why you are so humble and flattering? What is your intention? Tell me. So he is now telling, he is sādhava. Oh, you are great sadhu. He is sadhava, sakalameva vihaya durak. You have learned so many nice things, I know that. But keep them out, please. Sakalameva. Whatever your nonsense learned, rascaldom you have learned, please keep them out. This is my request. Sakalameva vihaya durak, chaitanya chanda charane kurutanura. Just hear what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. This is my vipassana. This is Buddha.
And look what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. He's saying, chant Hare Krishna. He's saying, become humble. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. He's saying, worship Giriraj. He's worshiping. He's saying, become a servant of Krishna. Go to that platform. So one doesn't tell persons on the highest level, persons who are on the lowest level, about the highest level necessarily. But this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. We should take it from the bottom to the top and give it out.
Do so that he may little hear. And when he says, what do you want? I want this. Whatever rascaldom you have learned, please forget. Because I know you are rascal number one. You have got so many hot boss things in your brain. So you keep them out, please. Sakalameva vihaya dura. Keep them, throw away. Long distance. Don't look upon. Then what to do? Chaitanya Chanda Charani, Guru Tarula. Please hear what Chaitanya Chanda says. Chaitanya Dayarakataha, Karaho Vichara. Vichara Karile Chitta Pave Chamatta. Just try to understand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you will feel so sublime. Chaitanya Chanda Dayarakataha. Don't take it blindly. If your intelligence, just make a judgment. What Chaitanya Chandra is telling. So this is preaching. So Arjuna has to be a preacher, practical preacher. What is that preaching? That he has to sacrifice everything for Krishna's sake.
Here's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in a song that probably everyone here has heard. It ends in preaching. This song, which was always one of my favorites, it's in the Sharanagati songbook written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sharanagati songbook has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different parts. The first part describes the 6 limbs of surrendering to Krishna, of giving oneself to Krishna. Then when one does that, one comes across the 7th limb, which, anyone know the name of the seventh part of the book? It's Bhajan Lalas. Eagerness to improve oneself by doing bhajan, or service, or deepening oneself in Krishna consciousness. Then the 8th part, the next part, is called siddhalalas, where one attains perfection. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in those songs even describes what happens when one attains one's eternal position in relationship to Krishna, becomes established in his siddha deha, his perfect spiritual eternal body, as a servant of the servant of the servants of Srimati Radharani. So what would possibly be the next part higher than that? There's one song in that next part called Vigyapti. Do you know the Sanskrit meaning of Vigyapti? Do you?
Confession.
This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. It comes in the form, because I hear that I have to give up the bodily concept of life. I'm stuck in the bodily concept of life. I hear that I have to do very serious hearing and chanting and deep bhajan, but here I am stuck in the superficialities of my own mind and desires. And I hear, I have to, what did Prabhupada say? That is preaching. He has to sacrifice everything for Krishna's sake. That's all, that is preaching. And then I see my level of preaching, and again, on a superficial level. Here's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in this Vigyapti. There is a very famous line in it. I'll say it one time and you'll immediately recognize the song, and then please repeat it after me. Kabe habe bolo se din amar. When, oh when, will that day be mine? And as I was looking at this, I understood that this song, it very much parallels the stages, very much parallels, but not fully, the stages of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikastak. When, oh when, will that day be mine? When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? When, oh when, will that day be mine? That's a very nice thought, sentiment to have in the heart. When, oh when, here is my position. When, oh when, will that day be mine? Two, lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. When will my mind attain this quality? Respectful to all, not expecting their honor, then I shall taste the name's nectar sublime. When, oh when, will that day be mine? Great wealth or followers, feminine beauty, I won't care for them, all the comforts of my body. Birth after birth, give me, O Lord Chaitanya, causeless devotion to your feet divine. When, oh when, will that day be mine? When will I utter Krishna, Krishna, Krishna with words choked up and shivering body? When will I be trembling all over, lose bodily color, tears pouring from my eyes? When, oh when, will that day be mine? When, in Nabadweep, along the Ganges bank, shouting, Gaur Nityananda! As a surrendered soul, dancing, chanting, running everywhere, when will I become half mad of mine? When, oh when, will that day be mine? When will Lord Nityananda show mercy to me? When will I reject the world of Maya? Bestow unto me the shade of your lotus feet. Let the right to preach the name be mine. When, oh when, will that day be mine? I will beg, borrow, or steal the nectar of the name. By the name's effect, I will feel paralyzed. Oh, enjoyer of the nectar of the name, when will I touch your lotus feet till the end of time? When, oh when, will that day be mine? When kindness to all beings will be appearing, with free heart, forget myself comforting, Bhaktivinoda in all humility praise, now I will set out to preach your order sublime. When, oh when, will that day be mine? My dear devotees, this is so nice. When in my heart will your mercy shine? We need to be somewhat negative, because the negative about our own capacity, because the negative, as in a magnet, attracts the positive. If we feel, oh, I'm already this, I'm already that, I'm satisfied with this, I'm satisfied with that, where will the pull of the heart be to attract the mercy that will make our life shine? And then, when it does shine, with a humble heart, then we can actually preach. When Prabhupada speaks like this, and he was so aflame with preaching, Giriraj Maharaj, not this Giriraj Maharaj, but Prabhupada's servant, Giriraj Maharaj, recently he wrote me a letter and he reminded me, I couldn't remember who said this, and it was him who had said it to Prabhupada. He told Prabhupada, I like preaching. And Prabhupada responded, you like preaching. Preaching is my life. And like the gopis, just it reminds me so much of the mood of the gopis, who would be willing to do anything to remove Krishna's anxiety. They would give him the dust from their feet to remove his anxiety. If we go to hell, anything to please him. So similarly, Prabhupada was really in that mood about preaching, because within his heart, the mercy was truly shining. Now I will set out to preach your order sublime. When, oh when, will that day be mine? So we cannot imitate, but we should aspire, know who we are. And look what Prabhupada said about preaching. He said that you can say to someone, chant Hare Krishna, this movement is very nice. Whatever your position is, no one has to be big, 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 big. The big, big, big one is the one who's like this. But just something, some desire to please Prabhupada, to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, to follow his order. Amara Agyai Guru Hai Tare Desh. This is the order of Mahaprabhu. And actually, when the devotees, very close to when Prabhupada left this world, they asked him a very sensitive question. That question was, who will be guru? Who can be after you, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada replied, he who knows Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his own spiritual master, he can be guru. Amara Agyai Guru Hai Tare Desh. So, Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada, he wanted everyone to take up this. Amara Agyai, on my order, deliver the people in your country. Give them some of the sweetness. Whatever we have, we should distribute it and let it increase by the mercy of Krishna. Okay. Let us... Any questions? Yes. Tirtharaj Prabhu. One will do that if they have the taste. But probably that shouldn't be the aspiration of we who are sitting here at Giriraj, hearing about the sweetest of the sweet and the dealings on the highest of the high levels. Our aspiration should be to come up and come up some. But yes, of course, one can preach, should preach. Yeah, there's different ways to make devotees. Does that respond to your question, or did you want to say something else? One is not on the highest level doesn't mean that one should do nothing, perhaps. Yes, but when o kabe habe bolo seid in amar. Because we can't advance by our own mercy, our own pushing. It doesn't quite work like that. We have to do our part in pushing, but we're really dependent on descending mercy. And why? Yes. It's the question, to make sure I understand it. That there seems to be a part of spiritual life, or on a practical level, that deals with people, that deals with a natural, affectionate way of dealing even between devotees. Does that also have to be given up in the name of giving up own man? You're my own man and you're not my man. Is that basically? There is a principle also in Krishna consciousness that Rupa Goswami explains, that it has to do with swajatiya vaishnava. That swajati literally means one's own family, practically speaking. Persons of a similar mind. So, it is natural, even in spiritual life, perhaps even especially in spiritual life, that people associate with people have of a similar taste. That's natural. But there shouldn't be a rejection and a hatred and enmity because of those types of differences, it would seem. It seems that we have to be respectful to everyone while not demanding respect for ourselves. Naturally, we work better with one type of person than another. And I always see in Krishna consciousness that there's a theoretical principle, and then there's the practical application of the principle. To try to be overly theoretical without having the wisdom to practically apply the principle to this world, it doesn't work. But on the other hand, if we're just practical and have no theoretical direction, that also doesn't work. That's worse. Not worse, it also doesn't work. So, in my mind, my understanding is that a wise person will know how to apply this openness of heart that a devotee is supposed to have in a practical way so that he can survive and flourish in Krishna consciousness. Perhaps another point is that this vision that Prabhupada is speaking about is really an exalted vision. And if one doesn't have that exalted consciousness, one shouldn't imitate as if one had that exalted consciousness. That's perhaps another point in that. Does anyone else have any practical answers to this? The other devotees or that devotee himself?
The devotee which gets given.
That's a practical point.
Try to be impersonal.
In the name of...
To the point that we sort of alien.
Well, one difference between us and him is that he's God. And he does, and whatever he does is good for everyone. It's one difference. Because he says that in the Bhagavad Gita, ye bhajanti tamam bhaktya maye tatesha chapyaham. He's partial to his devotees. Yeah. So we should also be partial to those who are devoted to us.
I think everybody's partial to their friends or partial to the people.
Right, and that's what Prabhupada was condemning to some degree in there, on a certain level. Right, but you also have to admit that Prabhupada was condemning that. Okay.
Would that be condemning dualism? In other words,
which is what
he's saying, reciprocation and relationship.
Yes.
Is that what's being condemned?
No, that's not what's being condemned. Why don't you speak further on this point, Mark? That is not a car. If someone gives a good class and he feels that I'm going to become proud by this, as Satchinandana Maharaj said earlier, he can easily say, "This is, if I have done anything, it's by the mercy of Krishna, my guru, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So usually before you'd say that, you'd say thank you too. You know, you'd appreciate the affection, but yet still, the truth is, you don't want to become proud, and you don't want to think that you're the one. By my power, I've given a great class due to my learning, due to my this, due to my that. That's very dangerous. But there's a way to exhibit humility and deflect a sincere compliment without being impersonal or hurting someone. And also, the ultimate thing, and this is could be my only answer to this puzzle, is one has to be very deep and think what will please Krishna. And because I'm working with this person, and there's a part of me that naturally loves this person, that would be pleasing to Krishna to love this person and to serve this person. To reject and hate someone on the other side, that won't be pleasing to Krishna. there's a certain type of party spirit that perhaps we can take too seriously and get involved in on a hateful level. And that I can't see how would be pleasing to Krishna. Well, although we may have to be loyal to our group to some level, that will be pleasing to Krishna, but to become extremely hateful. And Arjuna was fighting, and the reference is that Krishna, really the reference was that Krishna wanted him to fight. And what was getting in his way for pleasing Krishna was family bodily considerations. That was getting in the way for his pleasing Krishna. So ultimately it seems like we have to please Krishna. And we have to know how to do that. And then we have to wisely and practically know how to apply this principle in this world without offending everyone else, as Kanista Adhikaris do sometimes. They want to give a garland to their guru and they knock over everyone else, offending everyone to so-called please their spiritual master. But that doesn't please their spiritual master. One has to know how to please Krishna without stepping on and hurting and offending any living entity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajan Rahasya describes the different type of aparads that are anartas, that ruin, that make it that we don't have a taste, and one of them is jana aparad, just offenses to ordinary people. We also heard yesterday in the Leela Kirtan that it is an offense to think even in terms of big devotee, little devotee, it's aparad. So there has to be some clarifying of vision, and sort of a Kanista mentality would be, I think, I love these, and it's natural for me to love them, because there's modes of material nature actually at work and whatever. But not to hate them, because there are modes of material nature that don't. So in Vaishnava circles, there's an expression, paying one's obeisances from a distance. So if there's people who, by modes of material nature, that we actually, there's friction. You answered that question like that yesterday. There's friction between a certain kinds of person, then we shouldn't hate them and talk badly about them as if that will make us better than we are, but rather we should be very respectful to them. They're devotees, but let me keep my distance a bit. I think that's also practical. So there's a theoretical truth applied practically. Is that?
Yes.
But Krishna, the ultimate thing is that Guru and Krishna has to be pleased. Because if we do offend people, and then because of that, we really do suffer for that. And it makes it very, we offend people. We offend devotees. And in India, it's very, very tricky because every country has its own etiquettes. And sometimes you do something in India or something like that, in Vaishnava circles, and you're just acting like someone from New York or something. And you offend them very deeply, and you don't mean to offend them, but they're offended, and that really... So it has, one should be a little reserved when one doesn't know exactly what one's doing, perhaps. But another answer to this is to perhaps what you were saying, Uli. Is that what one thing that I've noticed is that because in the last few days, because of the association of Giriraj, because of the association of the devotees, because of all the hearing and chanting, I noticed amongst myself I'm much nicer to people. More polite, happy in my dealings, willing to smile at people and things like that. And I tend to notice a little bit there's more affection in dealings, and I think it comes very much from the satisfaction that appears in one's heart when one is getting the spiritual nourishment that one needs. And that brings it to an easier perspective to deal with, because when one is starving spiritually, then one is going to tend to be much further under the control of the modes of material nature and be ruled by these kind of things. So it again, in somewhat responding to what Uli is saying also, that it is so important that the members of ISKCON receive spiritual nourishment, which means the Swarup Siddhi forms of bhakti, which means sufficient hearing and chanting and sweet association amongst devotees, means based on hearing and chanting in nice places like the dhams. And then naturally, pushti tushti chudapaya anugasan, one feels satisfaction and nourishment and detachment from the matter, from the material. So I also always see that there are questions that bring a polarity, like this is something theoretical and here's something practical that I experienced in my life. How do we put these together? And I think, just like an example of this question is that, how much do we want to just spread the Vedic culture? Or how much do we want to Krishnize the Western culture, or whatever culture we're from? And I've done a research on this point, and I find that there are certain people who really strongly insist, you know, we can't do this because it's Western, it's contaminated. And there's people who insist on the other side that, you know, that Krishna consciousness movement's becoming too Hinduized or something like that. And this tension between these two types, these two ways of dealing, is going to be there. And I see that reality exists between this, in this tension. And it's not unique in this particular question to us, even. I see that... I see it. I've studied this point in the Islamic religion, and I see it's really there. You talk about that Afghani war, and there were the people in the north who were fighting. It was very against the more Arabic oriented Taliban, because it was a cultural issue amongst other things. They wanted to change the culture, and these people were very attached to that culture. The Bangladeshi war was very much because the Pakistanis on one side wanted to change. They said that the Bengali culture was too Sanskrit oriented, Hindu oriented. They wanted to change the language to Urdu. Fighting took place because of that, because this was their culture. And I also studied in the Catholic Church in Africa. Every once in a while, the bishops go to Africa and they go to the churches, and they see that all the village gods make their way into the churches every time. They throw them out, and then 10 years later, the village gods are back in there. And when you see it in ISKCON, when the devotees go to Vrindavan, they go to the MVT restaurant, and what do they want to eat? Pizza. And when you get a special treat in an ISKCON temple in the West, what is it? It's pizza nowadays. So this tension of these extremes are there, and Krishna arranges some people to say, no, you stop this, make it more Vedic, just to keep the people on the other side and a little bit from getting too extreme. And, you know, it works that way, and it creates a tension because we don't have anyone who has that vision that everyone is going to accept in Acharya. So I think this is just the nature of the way things are going to be. How do we take the theoretical and practically apply it to our lives in such a way we don't offend anyone? This is wisdom. So when we want an answer that's going to satisfy everyone, I never find that works, because you have to take the two extremes, and then you have to decide in an individual circumstance. You have to see what is going to please Krishna according to the. That's like when Prabhupada came to the Calcutta temple in perhaps 1972, And immediately, everyone started complaining to Prabhupada about the temple president. Immediately, all the devotees started complaining to the temple president. Do you remember this one? No, because you weren't complaining, I'm sure. And Prabhupada called the temple president in, and he said, Prabhupada, I was just trying to please you, you know, do things the way you wanted. And Prabhupada replied, do you think it pleases me when all the devotees are upset? You may have been trying to please me, but do you think it pleases me that everyone is upset and disturbed and angry and wants to leave? So then one could say, oh, then your business is to satisfy, make sure all the devotees are satisfied. Never mind pleasing Prabhupada. And that side doesn't work. And so there's wisdom means to know how to, what Krishna wants, what's the best you can get at this particular time, and surrender to Krishna as much as your capacity. And you can't act more than your capacity either. We've seen that. Prabhupada says that everything for preaching. So then I go out and say, everything for preaching. You know, and I go at a million miles an hour at in the mode of passion for about 2 weeks before I land myself completely in the hospital physically, and everyone, you know, family is angry at me, and then I come back, and then I go extremely to this side, and then the result extremely to this side, and that doesn't satisfy, then extremely. No, we have to theoretical, practical, wise. So yeah, that's actually my understanding of that. It's somewhere in between and a wise person knows what will please Krishna now, considering reality. What's really there? Can we read? Maybe I'd really like to end with one at least one verse from here. But there were three I wanted to read, but no, it's too late. Mataji, we're not going to be able to do it. Even though that, in my mind, that was so sweet when we sang the verses and we had a chance to remember what we remembered from the verses of the Sanskrit and the English, and it prepared the mind, softened the mind and the heart to hear more and get a taste of how sweet it is to be with Krishna, how sweet reality is. It is the sweetest of the sweet, like Krishna's very soft and gentle smile. Seven, yes. Who could avoid listening to a Mahabhagavat? Seven. Because Krishna's just entered that forest. See, I also find that... But what about the tigers who live in the jungle? So one thing that I find hard about this, just like when we start, when you start deity worship, what's the first thing that one does? Achman, okay. Then one sits down and then? Buddha Shuddhi. There has to be a purification of the self-concept. Of who I am. I'm a servant. So we, similarly, it's hard to just enter in cold, so to speak, when the mood hasn't been warmed up. And that's what that, I thought that brought us, those little simple meditations brought us into the mood, remembered the sweetness of Govardhan Hill. But since everyone is already so warm, we'll try anyway. So the sixth verse, or the fifth verse, spoke about the trees. And the sixth verse spoke about the bees, and these intimate devotees, the bees. And what was their service? They provide honey, but what is it? What else is their service? Just buzzing along. You do those better than me. Making a sweet, pleasing sound. It's simple in one sense, but it's fully, sincerely done for the pleasure of Krishna. And that's what they had to offer. And therefore they became the greatest of sages. Seven. I'll read it. Please follow along. Why don't we read it together? That will save time and also We'll see the words. Narantyami sikini idyamuda harinya. Naranti, ami, sikina. These peacocks are dancing. This is Krishna's welcome into the forest. The bees, the trees, and the peacocks. Raise your hand if you've actually seen peacocks dancing. It is quite wonderful, actually. They spread their feathers like this, and then they... And it makes such an incredible sound, too. And then they dance with their necks. I can't do it, excuse me. Bad neck. But they make like this, and they're shaking their feathers, and it's so visually so beautiful. And they're doing this for the pleasure of Krishna. Once, years and years ago, earlier in the year, during the rainy season, I was walking around that side of Govanad Hill, and I saw for the first time a peacock dancing, and it was quite shocking because it. For that reason, it's so sweet. So Narantya Ami Sikina Idya. These peacocks are dancing, Krishna says to Balaram. Idya means what? So Srila Sanatana Goswami says that who is Krishna speaking to? Idya. Balaram. When he said this to Balaram, Balaram heard this and he turned away his face. He didn't want to hear himself being called that in the midst of the Vrindavan forest. Very, very, very sweet. Narantyami sikina idya mudaharinya. So, with joy, where is the joy? Who is that referring to? The peacocks are dancing before you out of their joy. What is the joy that the peacocks are experiencing, that they're dancing out of joy? Huh? Seeing Krishna, this is what they're doing, something that's so magnificent, and they have a chance to offer it for the pleasure of Krishna, and they're doing that with such joy. And the next, Harinya, that's the last line of the first verse. The female deer, Kovanti Gopya, Eva Te Priyamikshanena. These female deer, Priyamikshanena, by their glancing. Because when one describes the eyes of the gopis or Srimati Radharani, what are they always described as? What is the metaphor always used? The doe-eyed gopis, the doe, the female deer. What is the eye of the female deer like? It is very big. It is very soft and gentle. Very, very soft. And these harinya, these female deers, Kovanti Gopya Iva Te Priyamikshanena, they are glancing at Krishna with Priya, with great deep affection, just like the gopis do. So Krishna is speaking this to Balaram in the midst of entering the Vrindavan forest. And as soon as he sees the animals, the trees, the bees, then the deer and the peacocks, what does he immediately think of? These deer's eyes remind him of the gopis. Immediately, just by seeing the deer, he remembers the gopis. Suktais. So they see him. Then the third line, let's read the third line together. Suktais chako kila gana griha magataya. Sa suukta. There is a prayer called the Purusha Shukta. So Shukta is suukta, means auspicious sound vibrations. So who is making these auspicious sound vibrations? The kokil. Kokil gan means the group of the cuckoos. Coo, 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 coo. They don't make, from my experience, they don't go coo, 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 except on clocks from Switzerland. But it's coo, coo. They make a very punctuated, regular sound like that on a particular note. And actually, each of the notes of the musical scale correspond to the sound of a particular animal. I don't have the list right here, but it's mentioned by the acharyas, which of the animals respond to make the sound of that particular note. So these cuckoos, when Krishna is entering the forest, the cuckoo is a big black bird, very dark black, completely black in color, and they're making their sound. This is their offering to Krishna, and it is Krishna's comparing it to Vedic hymns. And listen to this. All these residents, this is the last line. Let's read that. Danyavano kasaiyanhi satam nisarga. Danya means fortunate. They are so fortunate. And Krishna is glorifying them. While glorifying Balaram, he's glorifying their service to him himself. Why are they fortunate? Indeed, they're exhibiting the satam of saintly persons, nishaga, the nature of saintly persons. Now, what is the nature of saintly persons? And how are these residents, the vanokash, the residents of the forest, vanokasha, the residents of the forest, by going coo, 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 or dancing wonderfully like a peacock, or just looking at Krishna with doe eyes? How are they exhibiting the behavior of saintly persons? This is described by the acharyas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in order to show you, honor to you who has arrived at their home, they are gratifying you, speaking about the kokil, the kokilagan, the group of cuckoos, they are gratifying you with fine prayers. This is the connection with the idea of the previous verse, that all these animals, what, and trees and everything, and every resident of Vrindavan, they're giving what they have. Such is the nature of devotees. This is continuing Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which implies that the natural behavior of saintly persons is to show honor to a sadhu who has arrived at one's home by dancing with joy and offering pleasant words. In other words, and this comes up actually in the next verse, that they are offering what they have, the best of what they have. This is actually the nature of a saintly person when a great soul arrives in their home. They're offering the best of what they have. So what is the best that the peacock has? It's his dancing and his feathers. What is the best that the kokil gonna have? It is their sweet song. All the birds are offering what they have. The bees are offering what they have. I find this point so encouraging, because here we are as individuals, and we may not have very much. Some of us have great, great talents. Some of us have little, small talents. But I see, in general, devotees are very talented. They have so many extraordinary abilities. So if we can just mine out that ability and polish it up, that jewel of that ability, and just keep it so nicely. Why? So that we can make it, present it to Krishna as a wonderful offering. That is the nature. And that makes one a great soul, actually. Because this is the nature of great souls when receiving another. So this is how the vanokasham, the forest animals, birds, everything was dealing with Krishna. Let me read the verse. The translation, there's no purport, no commentary here. O worshipable one, Idya, Balaram turned away his face. He didn't want to hear Krishna call him that. These peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. How we will dance out of joy when Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, when he was brought by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, he was 140 years old, and he danced, he jumped up out of great joy. It wasn't artificial at all, but out of the joy springing from his heart due to the depth of his devotion to Mahaprabhu, it was the full natural reaction to that. When, oh, when will that day be mine, when out of joy, out of spiritual joy, having something wonderful to offer to Krishna, when in my heart will his mercy shine, when, oh, when will that day be mine? So all these resonance, so these does, the peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. Again, that word is muda, joy. These does are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And later it will come out, when Krishna heard himself saying this, his mind immediately went to the gopis and he wanted to be with them. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior towards you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. Yes, Srila Swami says, the nature of saintly persons, Srila Swami comments, the nature of saintly persons is to offer whatever they possess to a great personality, a Mahat who has come to their home, the best of what they possess. Srila Sanatana Goswami says, that comment of when he called Balaram Idya, his elder brother Balaram turned away his face. And Sanatana Goswami also says, just as Krishna is speaking these words to these specific residents of Vrindavan, acknowledging their gift to him as if it was towards Balaram, Sanatana Goswami says this description is to be taken of all the animals in Vrindavan, because all had their things to offer. Even we heard that crow. That was the first time I ever heard a crow sing sweetly while you were speaking. Yes?
Yes.
Did you notice that?
He was very eager to contribute. Yes.
Yes. But then you said, he will go away soon. And he understood your point, so he left. For the Sanatana Goswami continues, for the satisfaction of one who has arrived at one's home, one offers to him various things of one's own that are excellent. The supreme excellence of the dancing and so on of the peacocks is indicated, and thus the benediction, may they always be engaged in chanting special songs which are confidential and dear to you. Danya, may they be, they are also fortunate, it means supremely fortunate. They become Danya, endowed with the treasure of supreme love of God. This benediction is offered to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. For me, as you were mentioning it, I feel so honored to be able to speak about Krishna before such nice devotees and before the best of all devotees on the dust of Vrindavan. I also feel honored and wish to thank all the devotees for giving me this opportunity.
Maybe when you remember.
So, what's the suitable ending? Why don't we all say it? Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai! Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai! Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai! And one more time. And this time we'll say Bolo Giriraj Dharan Ki Jai. Mountain. Yes? Oh no, it's the holder of Giriraj.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Well, that will make Giriraj really happy, won't it? If we say that, he'll be really happy. Bolo Giriraj Dharan Ki Jai. Bolo Giriraj Dharan Ki Jai! And because Giriraj is happy, we all feel happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.